John chapter 5. The message tonight is the seekers and searchers of the scriptures. Let me read you four scriptures and bring others to your attention. But in John chapter 5, verse 38, our Savior is speaking to his people, but those that are his enemies. And it says in verse 38, "You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, because ye think that in them ye have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me, that you may have life." Please notice the exhortation, search the scriptures. Now look at chapter 7. Again, the enemies of Christ attempted to have him arrested, but they came back empty-handed, and they are condemning him. But Nicodemus, in verse 50, stands up for him. "Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to him before, being one of them, doth our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." I'll just read that for now. Now, Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, Paul is at Berea. He's in the synagogue. He's preaching. And it says in verse 11, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed. Also the Greek women of honorable estate and men not a few." I want you to remember John 5 and contrast it with Acts 17. One more. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. "This salvation that is ours now, the gospel of the grace of God," it says, verse 10, "concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time, or what matter of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into." The last Wednesday I was here, I told you who the man was that did the most searching of the scriptures. It was the Lord Jesus, because the Savior knew every scripture that pertained to him from the time that he was born until the day that he died. And I brought out how significantly it was when Jesus, knowing that a scripture remained to be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And they brought him the vinegar, and he drank it, and then he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's beautiful. When a man knows everything that God expected of him, and he's the only man who could ever say that I have done it perfectly. Others could relatively say that. But he said, it is finished. And then there was nothing else left for him to do. But there were other scriptures that said he made his grave with the rich and with the wicked in his death. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take over. So here is Christ, and he knew all the scriptures. And I want to encourage you, because I told you that our Savior did not draw upon his omniscience. He was God manifest in the flesh, but Satan from the very first told him, accept exemption. You are hungry. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But the Lord Jesus said, no exemption. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And just as little children have to learn Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so forth, so it says, and I told you in Luke 2:52, that Jesus was advancing, and the word is cutting his way forward in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So just as you and I have to make progress, so our Lord Jesus did as well. But you might ask this question, how could he ever know each scripture in the fullest of the Old Testament that pertained to him? I'll give you one hint, and it will be an encouragement to you, because tonight we're talking about seekers and searchers of the scriptures, and this pertains to other people than Christ. It says that when he was baptized, the Spirit of God descended as a dove and as a bold upon him. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And it says, immediately after that, the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness, guided him. And from that day forward, all the life of Christ as up until now, he was satiated with the Spirit. But now, here was the formal time when the Spirit of God was upon him. Because he said in fulfillment of Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So here was the time that formally his public ministry began, and the Spirit of God immediately said, go and be tempted. And then the Spirit of God would tell him to go to this place and that place. And as he would consider the Word of God, the Spirit would do for him what he promised the Spirit would do for his disciples. He shall guide you into all the truth. So the Savior was the one who sought and searched the Scriptures most diligently, and not one of them ever escaped discovery by him. Now, what is to be done now? We are to follow his steps in seeking the things in the Word of God. And what we saw that Christ did, he exhorted even his enemies to do in John chapter 5. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Thank God in this instance they were correct. Many things they thought were in the Scriptures, but were not there. But they thought that in them they had eternal life, and Christ said, you're right, because these are they that speak of me. But the sad thing is that immediately after that, he said, you search the Scriptures, there is eternal life in them, but you will not come to me that you may have life. You must understand that you may know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will never be saved. The Scriptures can save no one. But this is what Paul told Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 3:15, from an infant, from a little child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What? Through faith, which is in Christ. The Scriptures will save nobody. They have the power to reveal salvation to every man. But you must place your faith. And so if the Scriptures are they that tell of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have to trust Christ as Savior through the Scriptures revealing to us. Listen to this. The Savior said the same thing in John chapter 20, when he said, many other signs truly did Jesus which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Not knowing, not reading, but seeing Christ, being convinced that he's the Christ, and then saying, my Lord and my God. That's how you receive eternal life. So it's an excellent thing to know the scripture. But it's a dangerous thing, because the more you know, and you're disobedient to the things that you know, the heavier is your judgment. So some seek and search and examine the scriptures and reject what they see plainly set forth. Let me give you an example. When the Lord Jesus said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? And they said, if you say from heaven, he'll say, why did you not believe us? If you say from men, they will stone us because they believe John was a prophet. They said, we do not know. And so the Lord Jesus said, well, I'm not going to tell you either. And then he gave them another scripture that they had read their whole life long, but failed to understand. He asked, whom do men in Matthew 16, and then in Matthew's gospel again, he says, tell me, who is the Christ? Whom do men, and whom do you, and what is said about him? Whose son is he? And they said, why, the son of David. And the Savior said, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemy the footstool of thy feet. David calleth him Lord. How then is he his son? And they were filled with consternation. They had never considered this name. So here are scriptures that had been considered, but did not know what they meant. I told you last week, in Matthew 9 and in Matthew chapter 12, the Savior twice tells them to go and understand concerning the scriptures. He said, go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And then in chapter 12, they condemned him again, and he said, if you had learned, if you had known what this meant, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And so there are some who study the scriptures, but they never arrive at the truth of the scriptures. But there are some, thank God, who search the scriptures. They see the truth, and immediately they embrace the truth. And at times, the ones that do that are not the ones that you think would do so, because Nathanael, when he was told about the Lord Jesus coming from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the words were given, you come and see. He spoke to the Savior just a moment. And in a moment's time, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. You see the difference? Some people have illumination, and they respond immediately. But the Savior said, you search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me. And he said, you will not come unto me. So do not think that being conversant with the Word of God, knowing John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 1:16, knowing all of those scriptures, they will never save your soul. But rejoice that you have found portions of the Word of God that tell us the way of life. And at a time when the Spirit of God draws, you can say yes. But the scriptures will never save, but we still seek them, because there's so many things in the scriptures that God wants us to know. Now let me tell you about three words I read to you, as it was in the King James, about the Bereans. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so, but that word is a little different. And also, in the first epistle of Peter, they give a little different word. But basically, the three words are to seek, and to search, and to, it goes and it sits upon a point, and it thinks it through, and they make a decision about it. That's what happened in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They examined the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. But it makes no difference. If you seek the scriptures, if you search the scriptures, if you examine the scriptures, all of these things are similar activities, and it's getting us to the Word of God. And if you seek, and God allows you to find good, if you search and you discover, or if you examine and come to the right conclusion, then all will turn out the way God wants it to. So there are various things that we are to do, but all of these exhortations point us to the Word of God. Now, let me tell you about that word, they examined the scriptures, where it says in Acts 17:11 in the King James, they searched the scriptures daily. It's the word that is used when Christ is before Pilate. And Pilate hears the accusation, listens to the Lord Jesus, and then he says, I have heard your accusations against this man. And he said, I find him innocent. You see? They examined the scriptures. He said, I have examined this man and find no fault in him. This is what those at Berea did. They examined the scriptures, the things that Paul said, and they found them to be true. And when they did find them to be true, they embraced the scriptures. You see the difference now between those at Thessalonica and their disposition, and between those in John 5 and Acts chapter 17. All of them are familiar with the Word of God. But seeing what the Word of God tells us to do is not enough. You have to accept what the Word of God tells you to do. Now, there's so many things I want to tell you, but I'm not able to tell you, so you'll have to put them together later on. But when the Apostle Paul, at this time, Saul of Tarsus, is speaking to the Lord Jesus in heaven, and he says, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And then the Lord Jesus spoke to him more. And finally, the Apostle Paul said, What would you have me to do? Lord, who are you? And then, Lord, what would you have me to do? That is what the Word of God is to be searched for. You are to examine the Word of God and to seek it and to search it just so that you can do what is contained in the Word of God. And now, instead of in an orderly way telling you all of these people that do accept this exhortation, I will mention one to you and show you how ideal he is from the Old Testament. Ezra, in chapter 7, verse 10, it says this concerning him. It said, Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You can't improve upon that. You seek the law of God. You want to know what it is, what it says, what it means. You seek the law of the Lord, and then it says to do the law of the Lord. And after that, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That is the ideal pattern to follow. Ezra had set his heart. It says in Acts chapter 11 that when Barnabas saw those converts with such a good start there, it said he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, Ezra had set his own heart to seek the law of the Lord. There are some who desire to be teachers of the law, though they neither understand what they say nor whereof they confidently affirm. And they will not seek the law of the Lord. But Ezra said, I'm going to seek it and find out exactly what God wants Israel to do, but before what he wants them to do, what he wants me to do it. And when I see what he wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, having learned the truth of God, obeyed the truth of God, I'm going to teach the truth of God. Would that not be the person you would want to come and teach you? Would you accept hypocrisy? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 concerning those that were teaching them, it said, they tell you what to do, but they do it not themselves. And so there are many who can tell you things in the scripture that you should do, but there was no response in their hearts. I'm thinking of this. The Magi, the wise men, come to find out where Christ is. And they ask, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And all of those scholars of the law say, that's elementary. Micah 5:2 is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so then they go back home and keep studying the scriptures, whereas the wise men go to find Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea. They are like those in John 5. They search the scriptures, eternal life, but they will not come unto Christ. And think now, if what Israel has been waiting for from the beginning is now upon the scene, even the shepherds, when they were told about it, they said, let us go and see this great sight. But these learned men of the law tell where it can be found, and they will not go and find it. So this is what you discover in Scripture, that there are some that know the Scriptures, but they're not going to obey the Scriptures. And there are some who know the Scriptures and will teach the Scriptures, but will not obey the Scriptures. And thank God there are some like Ezra who set their heart, who make it a purpose in life to seek the law of the Lord, and then to do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Now, I can make you a promise. If you have so many religions in the world, so many voices coming to you, pointing you in different directions, how can a man ever know for certain whether the message Jesus brings is the right message? He promises that. And I promise you this, that if you want to know the will of God, this is what the Savior says in John 7:17. If any man, and this is what it literally says, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. Why? Of the teaching. Whether it is mine, whether I speak from God, or whether it is mine and it's not from God at all. I want you to lay hold on that promise. Because if any man is willing to do God's will, the Savior said, he shall know. Just like he said in John chapter 8 to those that believe him. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These are promises that the Savior makes. So all you have to do to be sure that what Christ has said is true is to be willing to do everything that he tells you, that he expects of you, and then God will reveal it to you. You say, well, that isn't an easy thing. I want to know much of the Word of God. He did not say to anyone who wants to know the Word of God. If anyone wills to know the Word of God, he said, if anyone is willing to do the will of God. At times, he graciously shows us the Scriptures, that in time, we will obey the Scriptures. But he makes that promise, and I lay hold on it, and now I will bring this other Scripture to your mind. In 2 Timothy 2:7, this is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, consider what I say. The Lord shall give thee understanding in all things, because it can either be translated as a prayer or a promise. In the King James it says, consider what I say. Here is an inspired apostle that has written an epistle to Timothy. And he says, now consider what I say. He says, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's a prayer that will be answered. But then, as it also is translated, the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Is that not better? You see, in Ephesians, he prays once and again that their minds may be illumined. There might be enlightenment. And in 2 Timothy 2:7, he says, the Lord give thee understanding. The Lord shall give thee understanding in all things that I've spoken unto you. But, notice, consider what I say. And this is the word, put your mind to it. So it's not just hearing a message, but it's putting your mind to it. And when you do that, it is like unto those at Berea. They receive the word with all readiness of mind, and then they examine the scripture daily, whether they were so. And there is a twofold teaching in this scripture. You and I, if the Apostle Paul were here, if he preached, I would not examine the scriptures. I would know they were right. But here is the Apostle Paul preaching, and it says the Bereans were noble because they went and examined everything Paul said in the light of the Word of God. How often would you be led astray if you did that? Seldom. And that is what so few people do. And that is why if someone gains your confidence, he is the one you have to check up on most stringently, because you're likely to believe anything that he says. He's an honest man. He's a studious man. Why, he must tell me what is right. But this is what I have found, and I tell young men, that all that has been taught us by good men of the past, and then you mention certain ones that were Church of England and Calvinists and Presbyterians, and then you say, even what the Plymouth Brethren teach you, check up on them most of all, because you would think that Kelly and Darby and Walter Scott, all of these men, they have to be infallible, but that's the danger. They are the ones that you have to check up on. And I remember when I went to school so many years ago, they were teaching so much that you didn't try to find out what the Word of God said, but what they said the Word of God said, you passed the examination, and then you could go and check up on things later. And what I found was this, that many of those well-meaning teachers told me things that someone had told them that they never checked up on, that someone had told them and they never checked up on, and they proved to be wrong. They were not trying to lead me astray, but if this man of authority tells me, it must be so. Let me tell you something humorous. I was at a conference once, and a man that you know that's known internationally was speaking, and usually when people preach, there are many things that are good for the soul. They bless your soul. But once in a while, preachers will tell you things that are of permanent value. And this day, the man told three things that were of permanent value. I said, well, praise the Lord. But being a Berean, I went home and checked up on them, and every one of them was wrong. And so, what had I not done it? I would have said, this man told me three wonderful things. And then I would have told you, and you would have said, why, I was told three wonderful things, but all of them were wrong. He was well-meaning, and I'm so thankful that it wouldn't lead you into doctrinal error, such as denying the deity of Christ, nothing like that. But there were certain things that he said that God's Word contained, but then I searched for them, and they were not contained. And I tell you another humorous thing. Not long ago, a brother phoned and said, this is what we would like you to speak on when you come. I said, yes. And he said, especially what I want you to speak on is that mystery that is contained in that book. And I thought, I said, I don't remember any mystery in that book. But I said no more. I said, fine, fine. And so as soon as I hung up the phone, immediately I go to try to find that mystery. But I look up every occurrence to mystery and things that are concealed. And it was to be found in the Word of God. And so I phoned him back. I said, this mystery that you're talking about, would you please tell me where it is in the Scripture? He said, let me think. He said, I'll have to get back to you to tell you where it is. And he hasn't phoned me yet. And when he does, I'm going to needle him and say, don't be telling me to explain a mystery that isn't even in the Word of God. So many times our mind will play tricks on us. So we cannot trust what people say and what we think, but see exactly what the Word of God says. And when it says something, at times it's difficult to accept it. I wish I could give you more illustrations. I cannot. But I've told people, what does the Scripture say? And they do not want to tell me what the Scripture says. I said, tell me exactly what it says, because it would destroy the little edifice they've built up. And so they hesitate to do it. But once they do, then they understand that there is an edifice that can be built upon a foundation that is immovable, and that is the Word of God. And I want you to see this. Turn to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8, because this is a challenge, and this is what God says. And I want you to take it to heart, because so many people are seeking to know the future, seeking to know the mind of God, seeking to know esoteric things. Verse 19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that chirp and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God on behalf of the living? Should they seek unto the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them, no mourning for them." Is that clear enough? God talks about people that are telling you things, the prognosticators, all of these fortune tellers, and God says, go to the law and go to the prophets, go to the Word of God. If what they say is not in harmony with this, there's no light in what they say, and there's not going to be any light of the morning for them and their future. So the exhortation tonight is to be like the Bereans, to seek, to search, to examine the Word of God, because this is the reward. I will just tell you, in Psalm 119, the man says this. He speaks of the Word of God, and he says, "My discovery of things in the Word of God, I am like unto one that finds great spoil." Now today I found some money. I found a penny, and I found a dime. That doesn't get you rich, but I was happy in finding that. But what if I had gone and found a treasure like that one in Matthew 13? It would have thrilled my soul. And the psalmist says concerning the Word of God, "It is to me I have greater joy. I have a thrill in my heart greater than those that find great spoil." So this is what I want you to do. I want you from this day forward to have your life controlled by all that is found in the Word of God, that you're going to be like Ezra. You're going to seek the law of the Lord. And then when you see it, and you know what it says, by God's grace you're going to do it, and then, having learned it, having exemplified it, then you're going to go and tell everybody you meet these things whereof you speak with much assurance, that you can say without fear of contradiction. That is what God wants you to do. And instead of turning to these, I will just tell you some from the Old Testament. I told you the example in the New Testament. I told you about the Bereans. I told you that Paul said to Timothy, "Consider what I say." He's telling him to search what he tells him. God will give you understanding in all things. But you'll find in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 9, Daniel is one who sought out the solution to mysteries. And what is so remarkable is this. I've told you to go to the Word of God to try to find the meaning of things. What if I told you to try to find out what I dreamed and interpret that dream and you didn't know what it was? That was the challenge of Daniel. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that, and God revealed it to them. Now listen, this is his reward. When he did, it said Daniel praised and thanked the Lord because he was so great and he was so powerful, and he could do things that none of the magicians of Babylon could possibly do. And then, one other thing, and here is something that is a consolation. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel knew that 70 weeks, 70 years, had been prophesied concerning Israel that they would endure captivity. He said, "I understood by the books." What had he been doing? He'd been reading Jeremiah 25 and 29. And so you do not say, "Lord, I have no time to read the Bible, but you just tell me the interpretation of Daniel chapter 9, you see, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You just give me that." What Jeremiah had written, Daniel read, and he said, 70 years. But then God said, "Since you found that out, now I'm not going to tell you about 70 years, but I'm going to tell you about 70 times 7 years. I'm going to tell you about 490 years. I've already told you about Ezra, but one other thing, and it's so beautiful. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the scriptures are brought before the nation of Israel, and they are read to them, and it says they found in the scriptures that the Feast of Tabernacles was to be carried out by Israel, and they had not carried it out. And they learned that they were to go and get the branches of goodly trees and put them together and dwell in booths. And it said when they learned that, immediately they went and did it. It was a ritual from God, and they said, we haven't been doing that, performing that ritual. But when they saw it in the Word of God, they were determined to do it, and therefore God blessed them. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to seek the law of the Lord. He wants us to do it. And then he wants us to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now let's see if tonight Brother Garnes can tell me what time it is. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for all of those prophets of old that spoke it, but then you told them, such as Moses and such as Jeremiah, to write down the words that I've spoken unto you in a book. And we are thankful for all of these things. And we remember what your Son said. Lo, it is written in the roll of the book, I come to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. We are thankful that thy Son knew everything in the volume of the book that was written of him. And we pray, our Father, that we shall know everything written in the Word of God concerning us. And we shall be like Ezra, and we shall be like those children of Israel of old, and be obedient to the things that are set forth in God's Word. Bless us to that end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.